Hey, everybody, welcome back to Lion Athletics. This is where you find Inside Lion Athletics. Charlie Chitwood here. This time we're doing Zoomies this week, and we're going to start out with a women's soccer coach, Ashley Gordon, one of five teams in the conference, coach, yet to lose a conference match. Trying to get some over in that left-hand column, though, to go with those ties.
Yeah, we are. We are. I mean, we came off of two games this weekend with two ties. First one playing at McNeese, had the game in hand. I thought played well. You know, could we have been in an opportunity? I mean, could we have been in a position to be up more than two goals at halftime? Yes. We had a number of opportunities. Went late into the game, and in the last 2.5 minutes, gave up a PK. That then led to playing short with 10 women on the field, and lessons learned, you know, from a number of our players in the last minute and a half that I think were avoidable mistakes. So, you know, even though we had a tie against McNeese, you know, in my opinion, felt like, and I think our team felt the same way, felt like a loss, because again, we were the better team statistically. We led in shots, we led in corners, we were in complete control of the game, and gave away two goals in the last minutes of the game.
Well, then you got home and had that scoreless tie with UIW on Saturday.
Right.
There's only a total of like 16 shots. Did y'all just battle it out at midfield?
We did, but it's another game that we outshot. We outshot, you know, outshot Incarnate, and you know, they were a fresh team coming in, did not play Thursday, whereas we did, and then had to travel. And you know, I mean, I thought a really gutsy performance from our team, from a number of players, you know, as well, that I thought had really, really good games. But I thought that we were in control of the game, even in the first half. We had Judith, our Kenyan, who we spoke about last week, who had gotten to the back post, that had three opportunities on the back side of the six, and it came up just short and a bit unlucky. But going into, you know, halftime, I mean, I thought that we were playing well and steady and getting opportunities. I thought Maya Mitchell was really dangerous, 1v1 in the channels. And, you know, and to be honest, we were getting a number of set pieces. And so, you know, super dangerous on any of our corners. And you know, when you're looking at statistics, you know, we had more corners than Incarnate Word. We had Maya was taken. This was could have been a PK in which the referee did not call the PK. But, you know, like I said, going into the second half, we knew that we were going to continue to have opportunities. Right at the beginning of the second half, actually, we had a corner that led to a goal that was disallowed. And Charlie, when you look at the video, it's a clear goal. It's a clear goal. So, but, you know, I'm not the referee. So, you know, we came away with that, with still a point at home and undefeated on the weekend. But, you know, when you look at the Incarnate Word game, we had due to just some players out in our back line. We had a new back line that was playing in this game due to some sickness and injuries and so forth. So we had Trinity Edgerton that was paired at center back with Peyton Jost. And I thought both of them were super, super steady. I thought Trinity played really well. In the midfield, Chris Schultz, who's a complete warrior, our captain, junior, she was everywhere in the game and actually scored the goal that was disallowed. Nia Chacon had her best, I thought was her best game of the season, playing both sides of the ball, super impactful in the midfield, as well as Alana. You know, and then, you know, up top, we were getting a lot of production from Maya Mitchell and Hannah Bell, but just, you know, after the disallowed goal, you know, couldn't put in another one. But, you know, I have no problem with the way that we played and performed on Sunday. Again, I thought it was a gutsy performance, and playing against a team that was fresh, we competed hard. So nothing to keep our heads down about going into this week. We're preparing for Nichols tomorrow night. So we kick off. Hey, and it's Hispanic Heritage Night. And Charlie, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but we have led the Southland in single game attendance. And that happened actually 2 years ago, I guess it was. But on every single Hispanic Heritage Night, we've had a great outcome. And Dr. Rudin has hosted festivities in our parking lot, and it's been an exciting time for all of our fans. And so we've always had great crowds. And of course, we always welcome hecklers, by the way, and they get after it. They get after it.
That's
well,
it.
We're looking.
See, that's what gives those rowdies are what gives soccer a great reputation.
I know. So
can they sing though?
Oh, they can, and they do. We have a lot. Our fans have a lot of great chants. So anyway, but we're excited to play and get back, on the field for tomorrow night, and then thereafter, then we head to Corpus. We head to Corpus on Saturday, so we've got a kickoff time at noon on Sunday. So it's a two game fixture for us, and we got to get after it. As I know our team will. I know our team will. So we're excited.
All right, Coach, I know it's a natural thing, and you're as the head coach, you're the only one that's really allowed. What's the scene in the conference race? Southeastern, SFA both have a couple of wins already. SFA, and they're two of the other four teams that have not yet lost.
Right. Yeah, SFA, SLU, Incarnate, and Lamar, and our team. We're the five teams that are undefeated right now. And of course, we've already played two of those opponents. So we'll face SFA and SLU here later this month. Need to draw points from those, games. Now, SFA is sitting in first, but they have a game in hand. They're the only team that's played four matches where everybody else played three. So, it is really, really tight right now. And, with seven games to be played, anything can happen. But we're certainly looking forward to getting some W's.
All right, Coach, thank you so much for your time today. It's always great to visit, and go Lions. Let's get them up. Get you those dubs against Nichols and A&M Corpus. Folks, we're going to take a break. Be right back with more Inside Lion Athletics after this. Hey, everybody, welcome back to more Inside Lion Athletics. We're doing Zoomies this week, so that's why you get my floating head, and Coach has got a whole backstop behind him. Got head coach Clint Dalzell, East Texas A&M Lion football, and conference play opens up this week. Coach, it's kind of like, all right, now this is the line. This is where we really got to get going, guys.
Yeah, that's where it matters, obviously, win the conference and play well there. And obviously, playing Northwestern, going their place like we did last year. A team that's coming off a bye, so they had 2 weeks to prepare for us. Obviously a little better football team than they were last year overall.
So this is one of two games that, well, I think it's, yeah, it'll be one of two games in the Southland Conference this week that gets everybody engaged in the race. Lamar, Houston Christian, I think they're going head to head in the other one. And our date with Northwestern, you've got Southeastern, SFA, and Nichols. 1-4, or is it 1-3 Nichols? Those 1-4 Nichols is still on the leaderboard because they got that hot, soupy game day to open things up back in August against UIW.
Yeah. Obviously, everybody's records are not what they want just because of some of the teams they played.
Sure.
With the exception of Rios. Rios played some teams that weren't quite as FBS-esque.
Yeah. Right. They're a first year program that scheduled well.
Yeah. No question. So yeah, no, it's exciting to get into conference and, where it's a tough conference. I really believe, you could win the conference with a two win, even one win probably wins. I don't think anybody can just maybe
in
can
loss.
Go undefeated. Yeah. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough battle throughout. I think Stephen F. probably has the upper hand right now, honestly, looking at the teams and watching every team play. They're a pretty good football team.
All right, very good. All right, tell us a little bit more about Northwestern State. Coach, their front, defensive front, is not like North Carolina Central's.
No, they're not. Not many will be in our conference. That was a good front six that we saw. And heck, I was proud of how we protected the quarterback and ran the ball early when we were in the ball game, as far as not being too far behind. Yeah, I thought we did a great job with that. And that's with, you know, three offensive linemen not in the game or being hurt, and two receivers. So yeah, I was really pleased with the offensive side of the ball and how we protected. And again, like I said, how we ran the ball early.
Okay. Hey, Ron Pease's return this last weekend, that had to be one of the bright spots of the night for you to see him chunking it. 19 out of 39 for 356, two touchdowns, and only one ended up in the other guy's hands.
Yeah, I thought he, you know, coming off, knocking some rust off and looked good. Missed a few things just mental-wise being out, as far as checks and you know, telling the line exactly what to do and read here or there. But overall, played really well. And, you know, Erod came in at the end there to give us a little uplift and did well as well.
You know, when you've got a guy that's been out like Pease has, the game film from his first effort is probably the one that he'll get the most instruction from all year long, wouldn't you think? I mean, you were a quarterback once.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, honestly, after the first drive or two, he looked like, you know, he had missed a beat, honestly. Especially the way he threw the football. His trigger was good. Quick release, pushed the ball downfield several times, had some big plays. Obviously, the second play of the game, we go 73, which is nice start to a football game. And he just, you know, he's got just that little extra zip that gets past defenders at times. And we should run the ball a little bit more at times when there's open field in front of him. We tried a few 50-50 balls downfield where I think he could have picked some good chunks up with his legs if he'd have just, you know, done that.
All right. Let's see. Had an interesting receiving core in that game. It wasn't by design necessarily, but Tanner Harrison had a couple of catches. Devin Matthews, 5 for 103. Harrison, by the way, had that 73-yarder that was so pretty early. And then Andres Lewis and Randy Reese, we hadn't really called their names a lot receiving in a game. You had to fill in.
Yeah, with Proc being out and Paul Deedy, you know, basically those first two names filled into their spots. Tanner, you know, caught two balls, and I think he averaged, I don't know, 50-something yards per catch. So that's not bad. Matthews came back from injury from Florida State, which he, you know, caught a ball on the sideline late in that game and got hurt. So it was his first game back too, and looked good. He's a solid player for us, and he's been here since I, you know, first got here, recruited him. I was happy for him, and he's only going to get better as time goes on. And you mentioned a few other names in there, and we spread the ball around. You know, that's what we tell our guys, and we fuss at our guys about, you've got to be ready to play, because I don't care who's on the field. You know, we're going to call a play and expect you to know what to do, and thought we executed pretty good with some new faces.
All right, over on the defensive side of the ball, it was a lot of LaVon Williams and Kyrie Anderson and Kobe Sebastian King.
Yeah, a little too much LaVon. If you got, you know, on my side of it, you know, he's our safety and having to come up and make a lot of tackles. And, you know, I thought the defense overall, I know you looked at the scoreboard and they gave up 50 points, but it did a lot of good things on first and second down, but third down was the key, and that's always, you know, crucial to be able to get off the field on third down. And I believe, you know, they were 9 of 9 on their first third downs, nine third downs in a row they, you know, got. So couldn't get off the field. And, you know, that quarterback was threw some really good balls and spread the ball around and executed and commanded the huddle well for them. And like I said, that's a good football team. I'm sure they'll win the MEAC again over there. And go well deep in the playoffs over there.
All right. Over on special teams, how about Oslo Rigby? Gave you your first onside kick, and that came at a pretty big time.
Yeah, it did. And Tanner Harrison, you know, again, is one of those guys who recovered that on the sideline. Just goes to show you how important special teams are, good and bad. And we'll talk about the bad here in a second as well. recovering that and, you know, on who you're supposed to block on special teams. Mm-hmm. they didn't execute it right on their side, and we did, and we came up with the football. And you know, again, we had the, you know, the bad snap and punt and snapped it over our head again, and lost you know, some big chunks of yards there, and gave them ball deep in our own territory. So we got to fix that, and you know, I believe Corey will Garcia, he'll get that fixed this week, and we've really worked on it. And just got to keep his butt down. That's his bottom line. When it sails high, he's just popping that rear end up too fast, and it's going sailing. So, you know, Coach McClain put a lot of work in this week.
All right, good deal. All right, Coach, man, I think we're ready to go to Northwestern, just to go to Natchitoches and get inside historic, let's see, Prather Coliseum. Y'all might dress there instead of in the stadium, but, man, it's a fun place to visit. Safe travels down there, my friend, and we will see you Saturday.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Lions up here. Clint Dalzell, everybody, Lions head football coach, getting ready to go up against Northwestern State Saturday. 6 o'clock kickoff means Brock and I'll start working at 5, but you can always catch it on the Lions Sports Network. Thanks, Coach.
Take care.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We've got some more Inside Lion Athletics. Charlie Chitwood here. We've already had soccer and football. Or is that football and, oh, well, they're both football. But now we're going to talk volleyball. I got Joe Morales here with me. And, man, you had a tough weekend at home. But, friend, there's another day coming, and it'll be soon and on the road and down on the beach in South Texas.
Yeah. We're here already. We landed. We just checked into the hotel. We're ready to rock and roll. I mean, you know, it's early in the conference. We had great games, I thought, on Thursday and Saturday against Houston Christian and Incarnate Word. And it's a little disappointing we didn't get those wins. But we, you know, like I told a lot of people, like, stat-wise, if you looked at the stat, it was very hard to tell who won. We did a lot of good things, and I think the team knows. I honestly think, and of course, this is opinionated. This is just my opinion, but I think we should have won. We got the better team, and we're holding to that positive and confidence, and I think that's what's going to play over a little bit. Not great that we didn't win, but now we just got to go fight a little harder, and what better place to do it than Corpus Christi and UTRGV, and so the kids are ready. I think we're just going to stay positive throughout this, and you know, as a head coach, you know, you know, hope for the best, expect for the worst, but then you plan for the future, right? So like, that's what we're doing, and kind of mapped out the season and what we need to do and who we need to do it to and how we're going to do it. And so I like our chances still. I still think we're a good team, and we're playing high energy, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun, and the kids are playing loose and they're enjoying it. And so that's what we're getting towards now, where we're just going to play loose and not be so stressed or tense about the wins and losses right now, because I think those are going to come. The wins are going to come when we do that. So,
you know, the trip south, I know, gets you close to home. And I think that if you do it strategically, you can get to McAllen and UTRGV from Corpus Christi by going through Kingsville. And I know that's where your favorite pregame meal is always going to be.
LTAP, right? LTAP.
That's it, man.
Yeah. No, it definitely can get through there by, you know, and then hit to 281, definitely about an hour and a half from here. So not a bad drive either.
Yep. So tell us a little bit about how this trip's going to go. I mean, these are two of the teams that probably draw pretty well. And I'd also like to kind of compare ours. You had a loud crowd on Saturday afternoon, at least for the earliest games. You had almost 360.
Gosh, and then so great.
275 on Thursday. How are those crowds compared to some of the others in the conference?
Well, I think Corpus is going to be a little different this year because we're playing 11:30 game, so an educational game, if you will. Yeah. So I think that's going to be loud with kids, you know, respectively. And then UTRGV always does a good job with their crowd. Now it's on a Saturday. It's going to be a noon game, I believe. So that's going to be hit or miss, but they normally do a pretty good production with their crowd too. I got to tell you, the UIW game was so much fun, and just the atmosphere that we had in there was absolutely amazing. Like, my team is so grateful for playing in the field house and doing that. And grateful for the student body and the fans to be out there and supporting, and it makes it that much more special, and it makes it that much more grit where we got to get some wins for them. But it was awesome. It was great. Yeah, we'll see. We're playing two, you know, afternoon games, if you will, this week. So a little different than what we're used to, but we're ready, you know, we're here. So.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the standouts from last week's play.
Yeah.
Gracie Campbell, what, 14 kills against Houston and then 20 in the five-game set against UIW. Zoe Roskowski had 10 kills in the first and 13 on Saturday. And Haley Mullaney was pretty busy.
Had
three of them on Thursday, but eight more on Saturday. Who are we missing here?
Oh, man. Well, I think we're missing a couple of people that, you know, didn't show form the last week. I think our middles, you know, Brooke, Vea need to get in the mix there. And I think that's a plan coming into this week. And I think MJ did a pretty decent job. She, I think, hit like 280-something against UIW. You know, Roper has to get in the mix. Like, Roper is my high flyer on the right side. She has to get in the mix. And it's different because, you know, you saw Haley with a lot of kills because we went into a 5-1. So that eliminates one of the right sides. And sometimes it's Roper just because of her ball control. But it doesn't mean we're going away from it. I thought Haley did a great job in orchestrating the 5-1. I mean, she had some, you saw her get some, she had a hitting percentage, which is really rare for a setter unless you're in a 5-1. And so she was up there getting some points and doing a really good job. But I think our middles on the right side will get back on track a little bit. And I can't say enough about our outsides. Like, Gracie is Gracie. Gracie, I mean, I just love having her on our team. I think this kid is just dynamite. And I think, you know, when she transferred 2 years ago, or, you know, in 24, I believe, in the spring, you know, came to us, and I knew what we were getting, and it's just been a you know, match made in heaven. I think she's really she's growing her game this year a little bit. Like, she's really growing her game. You know, everybody knows her for her fast arm, but now she's developing a little bit of a short game in there. And so that's going to be really telling. And then Zoe's coming in with some high energy, with a little nervous coming in, you know, in the preseason, and now she's finding her groove, and that kid's fun to watch. So we're excited. We get our middles involved. Roper gets some piece of the action. I think we're going to be just fine.
All right. Good stuff. Well, Coach, it's always a pleasure to visit. And I know y'all are going to be heading out. So safe travels
on
the road in South Texas. And get a shrimp cocktail for me when you hit El Cap, man. It's always
good.
There.
I'm gonna try to get my assistant to do a little detour to there.
There you go. Maybe DoorDash. You know,
DoorDash.
They'll put a price on anything.
There you go.
All right, my friend. Cheers to you. Thanks everybody for being part of this episode of Inside Lion Athletics. Had some people out of pocket, but they'll be back next week. For Lion Athletics, I'm Charlie Chitwood. See you, everybody.